Welcome to the What Did Jesus Say Movement podcast. I'm your host, Belinda R. Stokes, founder and leader of the What Did Jesus Say Movement. Today, Keith A. Kelly will co-host with me.
Our topic today is, what did Jesus say about whom to love? Every person is in need of love, to love and to be loved, whether you're a baby, a child, a teenager, whether you're Generation X, Generation Y, Generation Z, or if you're millennial, or even the silent generation, everyone is looking for love, but unfortunately, many people are looking for love in all the wrong places.
That's right.
Love, Evangelist Keith, it's not a feeling, no. It's an action. Mm. For God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? He gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for everyone's sins on the cross. So we're going to hear today, what did Jesus say about whom to love? Would you read the scripture for
us? Sure, sure. If you have your Bibles at home, you can open them up to Mark chapter 12, verse 30. That's where we're going to read from. And we're going to talk a little bit about this. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Belinda, what does that look like? What is that talking about?
Well, God wants us to love him with everything that was in us. Mm-hmm. We show God our love for him through our heart by allowing him to be first in our life. We are not to love anybody more than we love God.
Okay.
And we love God with our soul and our mind by reading God's word, by renewing our mind with the word of God. Because see, when we got born again, the only thing that really is saved is your spirit. Your soul, which is your mind, your emotions, and your will, stays the same unless you pick up this book on a daily basis and start eating the word. And let me tell you, the word of God is delicious. And we are even to show God we love him with our body by presenting our body as a living sacrifice, not just doing anything with our body, but honoring God, showing him we love him with our body. Now, Keith, how do we prove to God that we love him? What's the evidence?
Well, you know, one of the main things, this is it, folks. I mean, it's not rocket science. I mean, it's very simple. The word of God is simple.
It's the
simplicity of the gospel.
Yes, it is.
Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said. I mean, we got all these different philosophies and everything going on, and people got different views of what to do, and they got all these different doctrines going on. But, it's so simple. It says right here, and I'm looking at John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, I mean, this is Jesus speaking. Now, this is not anybody else speaking. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You have to keep the commandments of God. I mean, there's no way out of it. You know, people have come up with all kinds of different philosophies to get around this. I mean, I don't even understand why someone cannot read the Bible. How are you going to know what you're supposed to be taught? How are you going to be taught if you're not willing to even let the teacher from the Word of God teach you?
Amen. That's good.
You know, really, I mean, I don't understand why people don't pray. If you don't pray, you got to believe God is. He needs the reward of them that faithfully seek him. If you seek him with all your heart and soul, he will reward you. That's what the scripture says. But it starts with, you had to get saved. You have to walk uprightly. You have to keep the commandments. It says it all the way, not just Old Testament. Well, everybody feels that that's, a lot of people think that's the Old Testament about keeping the commandments. That runs very fluent through the New Testament. I mean, even in John, in the epistles of John, it talks about, and love is the following after God's commandments. What is love? the keeping of God's command. I mean, you hear it over and over and over and over again in the New Testament, but you don't hear people talk about that. They talk about a lot of other things. I mean, you know, they talk about prosperity, and they talk about God blesses you, and what he does, and you will prosper you. And, you know, all that's true, but the message is to keep his commandments. If you love Christ, you have to keep his commandments. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah, because if you don't love him, live any kind of way you want, right. But just realize there's consequences.
Right.
I used to always tell my daughter, there's a consequence to every decision that you make. If you make a good decision,
right,
good consequence. A bad decision, a bad consequence.
That's right.
I want to read the next verse, and it says the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment, excuse me, greater than these. Keith,
who is
your neighbor?
You know, I mean, you can, you know.
People live next door to you? Is that?
That's part of somebody, and that's a neighbor too. Okay. That's a neighbor too. I mean, you're all our neighbors. I mean, you know, that's everybody. Everybody we come in contact with is our neighbor. I mean, just like the parable that Christ put forth is about the Good Samaritan. I mean, how all these religious people walked around him, and all these other people walked, saw this guy beat up in the middle of the road, and they walked around him. The self-righteous people walked, but then the Samaritan came and picked this person up and tended to his wounds. And we're supposed to do that for everybody. We're supposed to tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I wanted to say something else too, as we were talking about keeping the commandments. I mean, we know that we're saved by grace.
Yes.
You know, we're saved by grace. We understand that. But Apostle Paul was very clear. He says, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid.
God forbid.
You can't. We can't be sitting up here wrapped up in sin and just using that shield of grace all the time. So, well, we're under grace. We can do kind of what we want to do. Can't do that.
Yeah, God going to forgive me.
Yeah, that's how it is. He going to do it. God loves me. He loves you, brother. You can't. I mean, if you read the Bible, you would know that you can. And that's practically in any interpretation of the Bible. You can probably find this in almost any interpretation of the Bible.
Well, there's a passage that says, those who walk uprightly shall lack no good thing. And that's another way of saying, obey me.
That's right. You know? Oh, no, I mean, and it goes through, and these are they that have kept their garments clean. I was reading Revelations the other day. It says, it talks about he that keepeth his garments. You got to keep your garments. You have to keep your garments because there must be a way you can keep them not. So he that keepeth his garments shall have, you know, the tree of life, shall be a part of the tree of life. So you have to really understand the scriptures and go through the whole Bible, and you're not going to do it if you're not reading. If you're just waiting on the pastor to tell you every Sunday, that's not enough. I mean, it's good. We have some wonderful pastors. We got some wonderful people out there preaching the gospel, some people that are on fire for God. But you cannot be fed just by that. You can't.
Well, just think about it. When it comes to eating natural food,
right.
I don't know about you, brother, but I eat 3 meals a day.
Yeah.
Couple of snacks.
Yeah.
If I'm up at midnight,
right.
Here come that midnight snack. And so, but if the pastor calls a fast, uh-huh. which means turning mm-hmm. your plate down, not eating.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, your spirit man increases
That's
the
right.
reception, but your body starts to lose weight.
Right.
And so when we don't eat the word of God on a daily basis, we're going to lose spiritual weight.
Right.
And we're not going to be focusing on God and the
right.
things he says to do. Then we become a prime target for the enemy. He says, I'm walking
about
seeking whom I can devour.
Sharper than you are, too. He's sharper than you are. He's sharper than me.
You know who he's going to devour? Those who are spiritually weak and they
right.
have not eaten the word.
Right. But he's not sharper than Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way we can defeat Satan. We can't do it on our own. Don't even act like you can. You ain't.
Right.
Believe me, he's a pro at this. He's been doing this a long time.
Yeah,
but the
power of God.
The power of God is the power can do it. It can completely destroy anything of the devil. And just like you were saying about who is thy neighbor. I mean, we have not only here in America, but we have a lot of people out there that are suffering that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's our duty as Christians, especially in America, which is one of the most richest countries in the world, it's our duty as Christians to support these Christians that are out there that are suffering all over this world. I mean, there's people in Syria camps right now. Syria's big in the news right now. There's people in Syria camps that escaped, yeah. You know what I mean? And now they're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's Christians out there that are supporting them. You know, I love that. You know, I love the fact that, you know, there's certain organizations that I work with all the time that deal with stealth. When I say stealth, that, you know, it's illegal to have Bibles in North Korea.
Yeah.
But these organizations figure out a way to get Bibles to North Korea. That's good stuff. You know, they're out there telling people the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're giving them the tools to do that. That's our neighbor. They're our neighbors too now, folks. People that are a different language than ours, that don't understand like we do. Muslims are our neighbors. We're supposed to tell people and Muslim people about the gospel of Jesus Christ too.
Yes, in fact, our neighbor is also anyone that you encounter, and they have a need,
that's
and
right.
You're able to meet that
that's
need.
That's right.
If I'm walking down the street and a person comes to me and says, ma'am, I'm hungry. If I have the money, I'm going to take them to McDonald's.
That's right.
And I'm going to buy them a meal. I'm going to meet their need. I'm not going to just say Jesus loves you. No.
Right.
I'm going to demonstrate the fact
that's right.
that as a Christian, I love you mm-hmm. by meeting your need. I'm going to buy you a meal. Because other than that, you're not going to listen to me.
Oh, that's right.
She's just talking smack, as the kids
that's right.
would
no, you're
say.
Right. You're right.
But, you know, in addition to our neighbors, you know, Jesus also said in Matthew 5:44 that we are to love our enemies. Mm. And let me just turn to that mm-hmm. real quick mm-hmm. and read it to you. It says, but I say unto you, love your enemies.
That's right.
Bless them that curse you.
Uh-huh.
Do good to them that hate you.
Right.
And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And so many people say, well, I don't have any enemies.
Mm.
But the Bible just told you who they are.
Man,
the people who are your enemies are the ones who hate you.
That's right.
And look how slick the devil is.
Oh, yeah.
Christians and the world run around talking about hating.
Mm.
And they think it's just a cute slogan.
Mm-hmm.
No, but if you are a Christian, you cannot hate.
You know.
Because Paul told us in Romans 5:5, the love of God mm-hmm. has been shed abroad in your heart. So when we become a Christian, God puts that agape love in us that enables us to love everybody. Now, truth be told, everybody ain't easy to love.
That's right.
But we can't say we can't love them. We should say, I don't want to.
Right.
The ability to love everybody has been placed in our heart
right.
by God.
Right.
And so we have to follow Jesus's example. When the Bible says that he died for those who were his enemies, those who were in sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before we got saved, we weren't studying God.
No. No.
Look, I was disco sad. I wasn't thinking about him.
That's right.
Just living for the moment, party mm-hmm. down.
Right.
Okay? And so wasn't thinking about him, really, was his enemy, but Jesus gave us that example.
Right.
How even though the world was separated from him, wasn't thinking about him, he gave the greatest sacrifice
mm-hmm.
when he died on the cross in our place mm-hmm. for our sins. And mm-hmm. when I tell you he suffered,
mm-hmm.
none of us will ever suffer to the extent
that's right.
that Jesus suffered on that cross. Mm-hmm. They beat him.
Mm-hmm.
They said they beat him so badly he wasn't recognizable as a human being.
Right.
They spit on him.
Mm-hmm.
They took the crown of thorns and
mm-hmm.
pushed it down on his head. You mm-hmm. ever been stuck by a rose bush?
Mm-hmm.
That hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it because of love.
Amen.
I just thank God, because just going over this, just making me examine myself.
That's right.
You have to. And inspire me to walk in love, because I'm telling you, some folks can really get on your last sanctified nerve, but because I love God, I'm going to put forth the best effort to
that's
love
right.
those people who get on my nerves. Yes. Okay? And yes. I believe in keeping it real. You know, when my daughter was a little girl, Evangelist Key, if she heard somebody say, well, oh, I love apple pie. Oh, I love my bike. She'd be like, Love is not for things. Mm-hmm. Love is for people. And she is right. Mm-hmm. God wants us to love him first and foremost. Amen. He wants us to love our neighbors right. as ourselves and to love our enemies.
That's right.
Thanks for tuning in today. New episodes will be released the last Monday of each month. Please subscribe so you will automatically receive new podcasts when they are released. Also, please share the podcast with your friends, family, church family, and others. We pray God's richest blessing upon you in your Christian journey.